Please join in the prayer for illumination. O God, we would be servants of your gospel. By your grace, through the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us your wisdom in its rich variety. Speak to us in your word, read and proclaimed, that hearing we may in turn share with others the boundless riches of Christ, that everyone might come to see your plan for all creation. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our reading this morning is from the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. This is why I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles. You've heard, of course, about the responsibility to distribute God's grace, which God gave to me for you. God showed me his secret plan in a revelation, as I mentioned briefly before. When you read this, you'll understand my insight into the secret plan about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know the hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. This plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I became a servant of the gospel because of the grace that God showed me through the exercise of his power. God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people, to preach the good news about the immeasurable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. God sent me to reveal the secret plan that had been hidden since the beginning of time by God, who created everything. God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens the many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. This was consistent with the plan he had from the beginning of time that he accomplished through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ we have bold and confident access to God through faith in him. So then I asked you not to become discouraged by what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ, Marilyn Weeks, for helping us to enter and continue on our journey in worship. Thank you, my friend. She does a beautiful job, doesn't she? Really nice. Wonderful. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. It speaks. It's already spoken to us and spoken into our lives, just hearing it. As we continue on this journey of worship, help us to be open to your grace, to the encounters with the holy, to your love. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. This is not an exact replica of my head. I just wanted to go ahead and point that out. And I don't want boxes of lemon heads on my office desk this week. This is a lemon. I am not kidding you. It's an actual lemon. It smells like a lemon. The skin is rather thick. But just think about the lemon meringue pie that you can make from this. Anybody have one, a good recipe? Just hold up your hand. Let me go ahead and toss this. When life gives you lemons, anybody know the rest of that phrase? Make pie. Thank you very much. I like that a lot better. Absolutely. Thank you. You make lemonade. In other words, if something troubling happens, something negative happens, Try to look for the good. Try to look for the positive. Seek to be open as people of God to God's grace being at work in our lives. It's interesting because every new year, what happens? What do we make? Or what do a lot of people make? I was waiting for pie again. I was hoping for that. Resolutions. Yeah, resolutions. And for those of you who have stuck with your resolutions this far into the new year, give yourselves a high five. 5 whole days. Wow. Awesome. Good job. For those of you who have already broken them, it's okay. Remember, God's grace. God's grace in all things. I was reminded of this also whenever I was walking through Walmart. By the way, never stop in Walmart on a Friday evening. Just a point of information for all of you. I was walking through and there were 2 things that they had in abundance, front and center. 2 things. Exercise wear, clothing, right? Right front and center, because you have to get a new outfit if you're going to exercise. It needs to be color coordinated, and maybe even fluorescent. And the other thing that they had in abundance, and they had a variety, different styles, and sizes, and covers, were Bibles. Yeah, I noticed that. And I thought, interesting. People want to get healthier. And they want to train their hearts in getting healthier. But what really does train our hearts in a kingdom kind of way, in a way of eternity? A relationship with God through Christ. Reading His Word, being open to His Word. Allowing God to speak into our lives through His Word to be able to transform us, to be able to train us, to be able to bring new life and hope and remind us that He is always at work. You know, we may have made a resolution that, boy, I'm going to start reading the Bible more. I'm going to be using a devotional more. I'm going to be going ahead and being more consistent in using the upper room, whatever it may be. But God's always been at work in our lives. Our devotions, our reading, our renewed focus simply reminds us of a truth that can be told by all God's people. God loves us whether we're paying attention or not. On our entry table today, by the way, we have some Bibles, believe it or not. And we have some devotional guides. Anytime that you see anything there, it's free. You can take it. Use it. If you want to pass it on, feel free as well. God gives us grace abundantly. We can never earn it. And so we are called to be channels of that in how we live, how we share, how we encounter other people. Paul reminded the early church of this truth in these words that we heard this morning. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. Paul establishes the fact that he was no longer under the thumb of rule of the authorities, but he was now being ruled by the grace of God through Christ in his heart. That's who he answered to. That's who his source was. That's who his focus was. That's who he was intricately tied to and connected to. Not anything or anyone else, but God through Jesus Christ. And he offered that hope to those who are in need of hearing it. He offers that hope to all of us as brothers and sisters in Christ who are blessed by such encouragement today. That we are no longer under the thumb of any person, of anyone. Even though there is evil at work in the world, that does not control us either. It might challenge us. It might be at work in our hearts from time to time. It might drain us. We might be in battle with it. But nonetheless, God is victorious. God wins. And we are connected to that. We're connected to that God of power and grace. Paul says something here about mystery. And he references in these words that I shared with you just a few moments ago that he was talking about the mysteriousness of God, the mystery of God's grace previously. And I don't know if any of you read mysteries. You could admit it in church. I'm not talking about those romance novels. These are mysteries. And I think that a lot of people do. And the paperback, and people kind of go through them, just kind of churn through them. And it's kind of a nice thing, kind of escape. You have some favorite authors and things like that. But a reality of the mystery novel is that at the end, or at some point in the novel, you figure out the answer to the mystery. It's no longer a mystery, right? That's kind of part of the fun and excitement of it. The mystery of God's grace is something that we probably will never figure out. But we don't have to, because God's already at work. Even when we're struggling with it, even when we're thinking, boy, God, I screwed up again. Even when we are thinking, God, life has given me lemons. How am I going to make pie or lemonade? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get out of this mess? God's grace is already at work. Can we figure that out? Can we understand it completely? No. And do we need to? No. People have written books. Theologians have spent their entire lives. More importantly, I think, brothers and sisters in Christ, like all of us, have pondered that and have wondered it. And that's churned in our minds and hearts as God has trained our hearts to be his people. Why is God at work in my life? Or maybe even more importantly, the question of grace is, why does God care about me? Maybe that's the question of grace. You may come up with an epiphany. You may come up with an awareness of God breaking in to your life, into your mind. You may be able to experience God literally working in your life. His handprints, his fingerprints on your heart, on your mind, on your soul. And those epiphanies are wonderful blessings, because they allow us to grow, and at times they also allow us to believe that we really understand God. And are we ever going to completely understand God? No. But we don't have to. We simply need to be open. We simply need to trust. Epiphany. That term reminds us of something that we've seen in cartoons and television shows and movies. The light bulb goes on. Have you ever seen that? The light bulb goes on above the person's head. Oh, I get it. I could have had a V8. Yeah, right. Get it. Okay, God, I understand. I see how you're at work there now. I see how you're at work in that person's life that I've been praying for. I see how you're at work in my life. Paul is telling the early church that the mystery of grace, while it's never really going to be understood, doesn't need to be understood. Although I am the very least of all the saints, Paul's words, this grace from God was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery. There's that word again. Hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. For us, as the church, we are now in the position, as we reflect today on the ways that God has kind of surprised us, had those epiphanies, even as we have been struggling with trying to understand God, or maybe we wonder why God loves us, or how God could work through us, even as we're pondering those mysteries that we might never have an answer for, we can reflect on those times of epiphany where God burst forward and we experience God. We see God at work, or there's an aha moment. And we take those memories and we take those celebrations and we are encouraged by them, and we don't just keep them to ourselves, because as a church, we are called to share it with the world. We are called to share the love of God that is in us with all that God puts in front of us, each and every person. We are called to be channels of God's grace to a world that is in need, that needs to remember that God does win and God still is in control. So, even though we don't necessarily completely understand God, can we still be messengers for God? Paul was. The first great evangelist of the church. And yet he considers himself a servant. And he's bound to Christ. Christ is his Lord. But still he was the first, one of the greatest messengers of the good news. We are called to be nothing less. And we can be. In the ways that God uses us. Each and every one here. Each and every one of you here. Each and every one of you here. Did you hear me? Not because I've said it, because the Word says it, and God is at work in our lives in this way. Each and every one of you is called to be a disciple, carrying the message of God's love in your life. But not just carrying it, holding on to it, sharing it. It's not just for us, is it? God's love is so abundant that it's not going to run out, folks. There's enough for everybody. A reminder of that love is something that we celebrate this morning in the elements of communion. And I'd ask those who would be serving communion to come forward at this time. There is a liturgy in our hymnal, and also in our book of worship, that speaks of the mystery of faith. And it goes like this: and so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. Sounds like Paul. In union with Christ's offering for us, Christ, the one who started it all, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. And this is that mystery. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. a mystery of faith that we don't need to completely understand, but we simply need to accept and trust and know God's goodness is washing over us. God seeks to fill us and feed us as His children. And that same Christ offered His body. In breaking of the bread, He offered those words that are startling and yet remind us that we are the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ, broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And we also receive that wonderful and holy and sanctifying offering that reminds us of Christ offering Himself so that we could be forgiven. And as forgiven people, that's more what we need to understand and remember. Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We can live now, unburdened, stepping forward, knowing that we are called to be channels of God's grace and love. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God.